Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and she is taking us through 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful Bible study. You can find all the notes on our Bible Studies tab, along with the podcasts. And we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today's lesson, we're going to see what happens as a result of David's lie to the priest at Nob. And I'm going to warn you, this one's it's a little hard to read this one. It's a little bit sad, and it's hard to understand how it all works together. But we can trust that God knows how it's all supposed to work together. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to read verses 12 through 23. And Saul said, "Hear now, son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, so that he has risen against me to lie in wait as it is this day?" Then Ahimelech answered the king, "And who among all your servants is so faithful as David? Who is the king's son-in-law, and captain over your bodyguard, and honored in your house? Is today the first time that I have inquired of God for him? No! Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to all the house of my father, for your servant has known nothing of this, much or little." And the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." And the king said to the guard who stood about him, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and they knew that he had fled and did not disclose it to me." But the servants of the king would not put out their hand to strike the priests of the Lord. Then the king said to Doeg, "You turn and strike the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priests, and he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, he put to the sword. Both man and woman, child and infant, ox and donkey and sheep, he put to the sword. But one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, "I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me. Do not be afraid, for he who seeks my life seeks your life. With me you shall be in safekeeping.'" Ahimelech, the priest of Nob, comes before Saul, and Saul accuses him of treason. Ahimelech is understandably very confused. His response is honest and forthright, and Saul is just not listening. Ahimelech points out that as far as he and the rest of Israel knew, David was Saul's most trusted servant, his son-in-law, captain of the bodyguard. This wasn't the first time Ahimelech had inquired of God for David. Why should he be suspicious of David? Ahimelech asks Saul why he is accusing him of something that is absolutely foreign to him. And Saul orders Ahimelech's death. The choice of words that Ahimelech uses are so striking to me. "Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to all the house of my father, for your servant has known nothing of all this, much or little." That word impute, that's one that's near and dear to my heart. It means to attribute something to someone or something. The reason that when I hear that word I take note is because when Christ died on the cross for us, our sin was imputed to him. And his righteousness was imputed to us. He swapped our sin for his righteousness. So Ahimelech tells Saul, "Don't attribute to me or to my family something that doesn't belong on my shoulders. I don't know anything about what you're so upset about. Don't attribute David's sin, if there is one, to me and my family." But remember who Ahimelech is talking to. Saul is already acting in sin against David, who didn't do anything wrong. Having Ahimelech point that out to Saul again, and this time pointing out his innocence as well, it highlights Saul's own sin. Saul doesn't want that. He wants to look like the good guy. He wants everyone to side with him. So He tells his guards to kill Ahimelech. And really, this shouldn't be a surprise for us. If Saul was ready to kill his own son over honey and his own selfish oath, why would he allow Ahimelech to live with the same "I didn't know" defense? But Saul's guards, they refuse to kill the priest. They will not raise their hand against the priests of God. They fear God more than Saul. Something Saul really should have taken note of. But Saul is too angry, so he turns to Doeg, and Doeg, who didn't hesitate to throw Ahimelech under the bus, doesn't hesitate here either. He turns and kills Ahimelech and 84 of his family members. Only one son escapes, and when he does, he runs to David. Now, Ahimelech and his family were murdered by Saul unjustly for Saul's own selfish purpose. However, even as Saul does this, and I want to be clear, Saul was doing this for his own agenda. This fulfilled God's promise to Eli. How's that? Well, these priests were descendants of Eli's house, and God told Eli that no young man would grow old from his house. For more on God's sovereignty and how his will cannot be manipulated, go back to lesson 35. We looked more in depth on that there. But just to touch on that here, sovereignty doesn't mean that God looked ahead in the future, saw what people were going to choose, and then aligned himself according to what they would choose, working among the constraints that people placed on him. No. Did God know their hearts? Did he know what they would pick? Yes, absolutely. However, he is still not limited by man in any way, shape, or form. But he does use men to accomplish his purpose, just as he does here. Saul was still doing this for his own agenda. He's still responsible for this sin. He was certainly not seeking God to see if what he was about to do was something God wanted him to do. Yet God's purpose is still reached through Saul at this time. These people are killed by Doeg, an Edomite. An Edomite was a descendant of Esau, remember him? Isaac and Rebekah's son, who despised and sold his birthright? Esau showed himself to be godless when he did this because the birthright was more than just an inheritance. It was a covenant with God as well. Esau later regretted what he had done, but even as he regretted that, he regretted the loss. But there was still no repentance in him. Esau's descendants didn't fare much better than he did. The entire book of Obadiah is a prophecy from God through Obadiah against the Edomites. Obadiah says woe to Edom and prophesies the complete destruction of all of Esau's descendants. Esau's clan just never did turn their hearts to God. They always put their trust and pride in their own strength and security, and they gloat over Israel's devastation by foreign nations. Their participation in that destruction brings God's wrath on them in full force, and the Edomites will be destroyed. Okay, so one son escapes, and he flees to David. His response to Abiathar tells us how much this impacted him. David takes responsibility for the deaths of Abiathar's family and offers Abiathar a place to live. Well, sort of. Since David's still wandering around hiding from Saul, David is offering protection, since they are both hiding from the same person. Abiathar, we will learn in the next chapter, brought the ephod with him, and he's able to inquire of God for David as they flee from Saul. The slaughter of the priests here does impact David. In Psalm 119, verses 28 through 29, it is thought that David is referencing his sin of lying to the priest and the consequence of the death of these people. Those verses read, "My soul melts away for sorrow. Oh, strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law." David pleads with God to strengthen him by God's word, to put false ways far from him as he sees the damage that he has caused with his lie. Now, think about what the rest of Israel sees as Saul does this. They see Saul murder an entire village of priests, and why? Because their hero, David, who saved them from Goliath and who seeks God's will more often than not, asked the priest for help? Saul is not only hurting the priests, but he's hurting the people and his own street cred. I mean, I can just imagine the people seeing their king and thinking, maybe this whole king thing wasn't a great idea. Maybe we should have listened to God and Samuel. Saul's attempts to cover his own sins leads to more and more sin. If only he'd looked up to God. So here's where I'm going to leave us for today. The massacre of the priests of Nob, David on the run, and Saul burying himself deeper and deeper in sin. It's like a soap opera, isn't it? Who said the Bible was boring? Ponder this whole scene. Israel watching its leader descend into madness. Saul's anger and sin destroying everything he touches. David's integrity and godliness leading him into exile with a ragtag group of misfits. Sure looks like bad things happening to good people, huh? Yet really think about it. Who was in the better situation? Saul or David? Saul may have gotten to sleep in a warm bed at night while David slept on the ground, but David was right with God while Saul was getting further and further away from God every second. I think, and hope I'm right, that I would be more than willing to trade my bed for the knowledge, peace, joy, and comfort that I was pleasing God and was truly seeking His will. My challenge for us today is to consider our hearts. Again, consider whether you're seeking God, whether you're seeking His will, even when we get news that makes us angry or frustrated, or whether we are seeking our own agendas. Saul didn't even listen to Ahimelech. He didn't want to hear it. He was mad, and he acted in that anger. David lied, and his lie has caught up to him, and he feels the grief and anguish, and as a result draws nearer to God. What about you? When you sin, when you are left to deal with the consequences of your sin, do you repent, agreeing with God that what you did was wrong, and draw nearer to Him? Or are you busy justifying your sin, telling yourself that someone else drove you to it, or God will understand, while you abuse His grace? I know I don't always do this right. There are still times when I try to justify my sin, but at the end of the day, when I kneel before my Lord, all pretense is stripped away, and I'm left with the truth. And that truth is always brings healing and brings my feet closer in line with Him. Is that your desire today, to be closer in line with Him? Or are you hoping to bring Him closer in line with you, with your persuasive arguments and excuses?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.